Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Kesubos. It's going to be Daf Samach Beis, but we're going to be beginning towards the middle bottom of Samach Aleph Amud Beis with the Mishnah over there. Again, Mitz Hashem will just finish off Samach Aleph Amud Beis and do Samach Beis. Today is a regular shiur. Okay, the Mishnah begins. Hamadir is Ishto Mitashmish Hamita. So we have to learn some basic ideas of Nedarim, which we've talked about in the past. The person can make an Eder and make something that would normally be permissible to go and become Osir. Now, Rashi explains, Dibur Maskal Madrus Ishto, Kigon. Here we're talking about the Omar. He says, Yi Osir Hanos Tashmishech Olai. The man is saying in this situation that I'm not allowed to get Hanoa from you during Tashmish. Because if he were to say it the other way around, that you're not allowed to get Hanoa from me, he has no right to do that. Avol Hanoas Tashmishi Olecha Lo Mistra. It wouldn't work that way because the Ha Mishubad Law. A man is obligated to have relations with his wife to please his wife. It's the opposite of what the secular world says, that a husband has to do her, quote, wifely duties with her husband. No, the Torah's viewpoint is that a man has an obligation to go and make his wife happy. And one of the ways to do so is via providing her with tashmish on a cycle that she would enjoy having. Now, we'll learn more about that in today's shir and in the upcoming Mishnayis. Again, I want to stress that this is only with the woman's permission. If the woman wishes not to have relations, so you can't force yourself upon her. That's absolutely forbidden. What it's telling us over here is that the man has no right to go and forbid his wife to have tashmish with him. However, the language of the neder will take effect if he says that he asks himself to get pleasure from his wife. And therefore, the Mishnah is telling us that if a man does make such a neder that says he asks himself to get hanor from his wife, in this situation, he has a problem. And Beishami Yomrim, Shtei Shabbosos, if he made this neder for a period of time that's less than 2 weeks, so the neder can be chal, as we'll see in the Gemara, there are times when he's not allowed to have relations with his wife for 2 weeks, so this isn't something that will destroy the marriage. However, if it's more than 2 weeks, so then, as we'll see, he has to go give her a divorce, and he has to go give her the full ksuba. Bishami says it's 1 week. Bishami omrim Shabbos achas. Shabbos here means a week, 1 week. So Bishami's opinion is, the neder, if it's for less than 2 weeks, there's no chiv to go and divorce her. In this situation, she can't demand a divorce. And if it's less than 1 week, according to Beis Hillel, there's no chiv to divorce her. But again, according to both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, if it's more than a certain time, according to Beis Shammai, it's more than 2 weeks, according to Beis Hillel, more than 1 week, the woman can demand a divorce if she wants it, and the man would have to pay the ksuba. He's the one that causes this marriage to unfortunately be broken up. Then the Mishnah tells us there are a number of dinim in regards to the expectation, as the Pasuk says, v'onoso lo sigra, that a man has a certain obligation to have relations with his wife. So this tells us that there's a certain expectation that the husband will have relations with his wife, again, assuming she is willing to have those relations at a certain period of time. Again, the couple, if they both agree, can do whatever they want. They can have more or less relations as long as both of the people in the marriage, the husband and the wife, are in agreement. So these are guidelines. But if the man doesn't fulfill these guidelines, then the woman has a taina to demand a divorce and to be entitled to a ksuba, because it's the man that's stopping the marriage from going on. We will learn in the upcoming Mishnah that if the woman's the one that's refusing to have the relations, so then likewise there'll be penalties on her ksuba as well. So the Mishnah continues and says, Talmidim, a Talmid who we'll see in the Gemara, has an obligation to have relations with his wife on Friday night. He's away learning all week, and then when he comes home on Friday night, which is the night of Oneg, so he will have relations with his wife. But under certain circumstances, Talmidim, Talmud Torah, if he's going away to learn at an out-of-town place, or a yeshiva who's going to stay over, Shalobi Rishus, he could even go without her permission, Shloshim Yom. We extend the expected period of time where he doesn't have to go and have relations with her to a period of 30 days without it being considered that he's being morayed against her and would have to pay her ksuba. Ha-po'alim Shabbos achas, and workers have to have relations once a week. Now, here we're talking about the workers normally have relations twice a week, and the Talmud Chachamim, as I mentioned, would have relations once a week. And here we're allowing them to have an extended period of time from not having relations because of their Talmud Torah needs or because of their work needs, that they have a difficult job and they're going out of town. And even though they're coming back at night, it's difficult for them because of the travel. So therefore, instead of the twice a week, that would be the normal, typical, expected ona. Ona, again, is the relations that the husband is obligated to provide his wife with. Onasa lo yigra. So this is called ona. So here, the extended period of time for a Talmud Chacham is 30 days instead of 1 week, and the extended period of time for the Pole is once a week instead of twice a week. Mishnah continues and says, Ha'ona ha'mur b'Torah, that which the Torah tells us that a husband is obligated to have relations with his wife, onasa lo yigra. So that is going to depend on different people, different jobs that they have. So ha'tayolim, which the Gemara will define in a number of different ways, but basically it means people that have free time and aren't under other major obligations. So b'chayom. So if the woman wishes, the woman can have relations with her husband every single day. Hapoalim, a normal typical worker, would be shtayim b'Shabbos, would be twice in a week. Again, Shabbos here means a week. So twice during the week, the woman would be expected to want to have relations with her husband. In the situation of hachamarim, hachamarim are donkey drivers. This would be like a local truck driver. So achas b'Shabbos, once a week. The hagamalim, these are more interstate truck drivers. They go longer distances. So hagamalim, they're only home a certain amount of time. So achas l'shloshim yom, they would only be expected to have relations once every 30 days. When the woman marries these people, there's a certain knowledge of what they're going to do as a profession, and therefore these are, so to say, built into the marriage. Before we talk about what happens if a person changes his job, so then a person really has to have permission from his wife to change the ona. We find the famous Gemara where Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, when he was asked to go and become the Nasi, after there was the unfortunate, tremendous, famous sichsuch between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamaliel, and Rabbi Gamaliel was deposed for a period of time, so Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had to go and ask his wife. Why did he have to go and ask his wife? So one of the explanations was because as the Nasi, he would have relations only once a month, as opposed to the expectation that if it was the Talmud Chacham, he had relations every Friday night, once a week with his wife. So therefore he said, I have to ask my wife permission. So there are those posts that say that if a person does change his jobs, that would involve a diminution in his obligation of ona to his wife, so he has to get permission to do so, because otherwise the contract, so to say, with the marriage was already established and he has certain obligations. Hasapanim, finally the Mishnah concludes, the sailors, they would go out on the waters for long periods of time, the only expectation was achas l'shisha chadosh, once every 6 months. And this is all divrei Rabbi Eliezer. These the definitions of the amount of time of onos lo yigra are according to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Mar starts off and says, my time of the Beishamai. Where did Beishamai get the 2 weeks that we mentioned at the beginning of the Mishnah, that if a man makes a neder, that he asks himself on Hanoah from his wife's Tashmish, that if it's less than 2 weeks, the marriage isn't over, but if it's more than 2 weeks, the woman can demand a divorce and be entitled to a ksuba. Where did he get this from? So the Gemara says, Gamre miyoledes nekeba. This is learned out from after a woman gives birth to a girl, so she's tmeya shuayim. She is tamei for 2 weeks, a 14-day period of time. So this is the paradigm for which we see that a woman sometimes goes 2 weeks without having ona, and therefore that's where Beis Shammai says more than that is considered a unusual and improper attitude, albeit less than that, well, it may not have been the smartest thing for a man to make such an eder, but that's within the acceptable parameters, and therefore the woman can't demand a divorce if it's for less than 2 weeks of time. That's where Beis Shammai gets it from. Beis Hillel, where did they get it from? They get it from the birth of a male child, where the period of time when the wife is tummy is only a 7-day period of time. Beis Hillel garmi miyoled is zocher. So this seems to be the source for both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says it's based upon there's a 2-week period of time after a girl that the wife is prohibited to have relations with her husband, and that's the paradigm. And Beis Hillel says no, it's based upon a zocher, which is a 1-week period of time, and that's the paradigm. More questions this. According to Beis Hillel, Nami nigmaru miyoledes nekeva. Why did Beis Hillel pick the 1-week period of time for a male child that's born? Taka, Beis Shammai is right. If there is a 2-week period of time, that relations aren't allowed. So that should be the paradigm. Shmuel says, you're right. If in fact that was the source of the din, they would have learned it out just like Beis Shammai. They would have learned it exactly like Beis Shammai said. But that's not the source actually of Beis Hillel. Ella, you know what the source of Beis Hillel is? Beis Hillel minida. They still learned it out from Anida. Anida d'araisa is tame for a 7-day period of time, and then mid'araisa would technically be allowed to go to the mikvah and be mutter to her husband, even though she saw blood that day. But as long as she stopped seeing blood now, so she'd be entitled to go to the mikvah. There's no zayin nikim, technically, mid'araisa for Anida. Again, this is not the halacha l'maisa, but that's the 7-day period of time that a woman is separated from her husband, is Nida, and not the childbirth of a male or a female child. So now the Gemara asks, but my kamifligi, what is the source of the machlokas between Beis Shammai, who says you learn it out from a girl being born from childbirth, but there's a 2-week separation, and Beis Hillel says you learn it out from the Nida, 1-week separation. So Beis Hillel holds Ma'ar Sovar Mide de Shliach, something which is common, which is for a man, unfortunately, to get upset with his wife. That, unfortunately, could be a common thing. As Rashi says, Mide de Shliach, the Kas Shekoes al Ishto Medira. Sometimes a man can get angry at his wife, and he says, "That's it. I aser myself to get anoa from you, from Tashmish," and this way. This is unfortunately a common thing, and therefore it makes sense to compare it to a common thing, which is a woman becoming a nida. As Rashi says, nidos are a dover that's shriach, as opposed to leida, childbirth, delo shriach kulihai, is not as anywhere near as common. A woman will become a nida every month, and childbirth could be, you know, every year, every 2 years, every 5 years. So the likelihood of something occurring is what Beis Hillel looks at. And the likelihood of Nebuchadnezzar getting mad and the likelihood of Nida are two dover shriachs, and that's what Beis Hillel says. We use that as the paradigm. But on the other hand, Beis Shammai holds Umar Sovar, no, Midei Dehu Garmla, something that which he causes. In other words, he made the neder to say that I asked myself to get an off from you. So we compare that, Midei Dehu Garmla, from something that he also caused, her to get pregnant. So therefore, Beis Shammai says, even though it's less shriach, it makes sense to compare something that he was in charge of to something that he's in charge of. And that's why they had the 2 week period from a Yoledes Nekeva. Okay, that's the source of Achlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Gemara tells us, I'm a Rav, Machlokes b'mefarish. This Machlokes b'Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is only if the husband specified the period of time. He specified a period of time either more or less than 2 weeks, according to Beis Shammai, or he specified a period of time more or less than 1 week, according to Beis Hillel. But Abel b'stam, if he didn't specify the amount of time, he just said, I asked myself to get a nod from you, from Tashmish. So then in this situation, Divri HaKol, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel say there is no 1 or 2 week period of time, according to Rav. Yotzi li alter. The woman can demand a divorce right away, and the husband would have to divorce her. Basically, would force the husband to divorce her and to pay the ksuba, the yitain ksuba, because this is something that's cruel and inhuman punishment, so to say, that they're not stating, the husband's not stating what the period of time is. So the woman assumes it's for a longer period of time. It's very difficult for her, and therefore, if she wants, she can demand a divorce of the situation. Again, if she's willing to put up with this, so then that's her right. Shmuel disagrees with Rav. Shmuel Amar, no, even in this situation, when the man didn't specify what period of time the neder would take effect for, afilu b'stam, nami yamtin, we wait the period of time of 2 weeks before we force the divorce according to Beis Shammai, or 1 week according to Beis Hillel, because maybe, shema yimtza pesach l'nidro, maybe they'll find the Talmud Chacham, who will be able to find the pesach to annul the vow. The Beis Din can go and find a reason that this vow was inappropriate, and they can annul it, and therefore they would go back to being normal husband and wife, even though he didn't specify the time, but they undid the vow. So therefore, wait the 2 week or 1 week period of time according to Shmuel, and only then, if they can't find the Pesach, they can't find the way to go and be matir neder. So then, in that situation, will the divorce take place? So Gemara says this machlokas that we seem to have here between Rav and Shmuel, as to whether you have to wait the 2 week period of time, 1 week period of time, respectively for Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, or you don't have to wait that period of time, like Rav said, that's Ha Pligi Bo Chol D'Zimra. Rav and Shmuel already argued about this, so why are they arguing about it again? Now, where do they argue about this? The Tnan. We had in the following Mishnah, which is going to be learned in Mitzvah in a few days on Daf Ayin. So it says over there in that Mishnah, Hamadiris Ishto Melehonos Lo Ad Shloshim Yom. If a man makes a neder on his wife, Rashi says he uses the Loshon of Koneim at Nanesli ad lam yom. He says it should be like a carbon to you if you get Hanoah from me for 30 days. Now, he's not asking over here specifically Tashmish. Lohi Dira, Hanoah's Tashmish. He just says that she's not allowed to get Hanoah from him for a 30-day period of time, but did not specify Tashmish. Because if he had specified Tashmish, so then Lo Chayil Mishum de Mishubad law, then, as we pointed out already, he would not be allowed to do this because it's an obligation that he has to her. He can't go and abrogate an obligation that he has to her. So this is referring to mizonos. But Rashi continues. He says, "V'gadli mizonos nami." He's not allowed to go and abrogate that. So what he's saying over here is, "Omer lo ma'isi odech lemizonos secha." He's telling her, "I'm not going to support you, but you can support yourself with your handiwork." And in this situation, where she didn't have enough of her own earnings to go and support herself, so then, in this situation, the Beis Din would force him to go and support her for the rest of the amount that she needs to be made up for. Alternatively, Rashi says that we're dealing here with somebody who is expected to have relations only once a month, or even longer than that. For example, the Gamalim or the Sapanim. The Gamalim only have relations once in 30 days, so here he was only being Madr her from having an offering for a 30-day period of time. So this would be consistent with the Gamalim, or certainly the Sapanim, who is once every 6 months. So in any event, this nether does take effect. So if a man is Madris Ishto, Elonis Lo Ad Shloshim Yom, he pronounces this nether on his wife that she's also to get Hanah from him for a 30-day period of time. So if there is this need to go and support her, Yamid Parnas, so the basin will go and set up a system whereby a Parnas, somebody will go and support her. Yosem Ikan, however, it's more than this, so then Yotzi V'yitin Ksuba. If it's more than a 30-day period of time, then he has to go and give her a Ksuba. Now, again, you have Rav Shmuel saying, do you wait the 30-day period of time or not? So the Amar Rav, Rav said, Lo Shana Olam Mefarish. This din that Rav just explained the Mishnah, saying that the setup of Pirates to go and support her is if he specified that it's less than 30-day period of time. If it's more than 30-day period of time, so then the marriage is unfortunately broken, and she can demand a divorce and expect to get her ksuba. I will bestam, if he didn't specify a period of time, so Rav said, you don't wait the 30 days and hope that something will happen that will abrogate the nether, but Yotzi Lialter, he immediately has to divorce her if that's what she wants, v'yitin ksuba, and he has to give her ksuba. And again, Shmuel said, no, we wait. Afilu b'stam. Even if he didn't specify what period of time, you still wait the 30-day period. Nami yamtim, because maybe Shema Yimtza Pesach L'Nidra. Again, maybe you'll find the Talmud Chacham, they'll be able to find a way to be mounted in Eder. So the Gemara says, why are Rabbi Shmuel arguing about this twice? So the Gemara says, Tzricha, each one is necessary. Why? Because the Eid, Mar Baha, if we only had it in our case, where the man is Madir Hanah from him to get from her for Tashmish, so Baha Kama Rav. In that situation, Rav said that you divorce right away because Mishum Delo Efshur Befarnes. There's nobody else that can, so to say, supply this need. It's obviously a terrible list of somebody else to go and supply her with Tashmish. So that would be adultery. That would be a horrible, horrible thing. So since nobody else can do this, Rav said, that's it. Go and divorce her right now. But in the case where it's Mazonos, Abu Bahayi, in this case, the Efshur Befarnes, you can set up a third party to go and pay for her sustenance, so then in this situation, maybe Rav would be moda to Shmuel. Ema modi leil Shmuel. So that's why you need this case. So just have this case. So just tell us this case, and we know if Rav said it in this case, he certainly would say it in the case of the Tashmish. So, maybe Bahakom Shmuel, only over here did Shmuel say it because it's Efshur Befarnes. However, Abu Baha, in the case where we're dealing with the husband asking himself to get an offer from his wife's relations, so then even Shmuel might be Moda, and Moda Leila Rab, because there's no Pirnas in that situation. So therefore, you needed to tell us that then for Shmuel, that even in that situation, it says wait the 2 week period of time, or the 1 week period of time, according to Beis Hillel, and therefore Tzricha. Therefore, each of these two cases are necessary to show us the strength of their respective Shitas, Rab and Shmuel, in the situation where you thought they might be Moda. Then we mentioned the Mishnah, Talmidim Yotzim L'Talmud Torah V'chulei, that the Talmidim are allowed to go and learn a 30-day period of time, even without permission. Obviously, if they get permission, they can stay out much longer. Again, this is a requirement of Onos Lo Yigra, that you can't unilaterally go and take away her owner. But if she's willing partner in this type of a relationship, so then it's allowed. Now, the Gemara says, that's when he didn't have permission, he can go away for 30 days. But, there is sure, if his wife gave him permission, comma, what is the amount of time that he can stay away? The Gemara says, what are you talking about? If the wife gives him permission, come with the boy, whatever they agree to, that's perfectly acceptable. If he has to be away for a year, so then it's a year. If he has to be away for 2 years, and she said yes, so it's 2 years. So we turn to Samach Beis Oman Aleph. Mor says, yeah, that wasn't our question. Our question was, what's the standard? Archa demil sukamas, Rashi says the top Rashi, derech eretz. What's the proper amount of time? Shal yisa olav chayt, that the man, even if his wife gives him permission, shouldn't be doing something that's a sin, because he's supposed to please his wife, and even if she agrees not to be pleased, vafilu ho yachol lefatosa, and even if he's able to convince her, listen, I think it's a good idea for me to go away and do this, so even if she agrees to it, at some point he's doing something that is incorrect. That's what Rashi says. Tosus brings down, how could Rabbi Akiva, we're going to have the story later in today's Shia, how could the famous story of Rabbi Akiva going away for first 12 and then another 12 years, a total of 24 years, how come he wasn't below Yisra all of Chet? And Tosus gives us a tremendously important answer. And Tosus says that when you're dealing with a Rabbi Akiva, you're dealing with a huge Talmud Chacham, so that was the expectation. Even below Pitoy, even without having to convince them, Hayu Smechos, the great wives of the great Rabbanim. So they said to their husbands, you go learn. Your job in the world is to be the God of Lador. I will take care of the entire household. I will take care of the children. I will take care of everything. And you find this by very, very, very great gedolim, that they said that their wives basically took care of everything, and they took care of the Talmud Torah. And in this situation, the wives were so happy, not only was this allowed, this is what they were expecting. That's why Rabbi Akiva's wife, Rachel, that's why she married Rabbi Akiva. She saw he would be the Gadol HaDor. And she said, go learn Talmud Torah for all those years that you're away. And therefore, that's the exception to the rule, but that certainly is not a Yisrael of Chait situation when that was the expectation. In any event, Gemara has now what is considered the normal amount of time. Amar Rav, Chodesh Kan, V'Chodesh Mabayis. Rav is saying that they go away for a month and then they come back for a month. In other words, they're not away for more than a month at a time. Shenema, as he bases it upon the pasuk where David HaMelech had workers working for him, the pasuk says, "B'chol devar hamach likoz haba vayotzes," in regards to the garrisons, the builders that were coming and going, chodesh b'chodesh l'chol chodesh shana. So the way that Rav understands this, Rashi explains it, it could be understood that you went away for 1 month and then you came back for 11 months. But the way Rashi, according to Rav, is understood, is that they went away for a month and came back for a month. They went away for a month and they came back for a month. So, in other words, you're allowed to go away for a month and then you have to stay home for a month. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Chodesh Kan Ushnayim Deveso. He brings down a different source from the building of the Beis HaMikdash, which says that they had enough sufficient workers to have them go away for a month and then stay home for 2 months, and then go back, work for a month, and then come home for 2 months. Shenemar, Chodesh Yu Balafanon. They were a month working in the Lofanon, getting the cedar wood for the Beis HaMikdash, and Shnayim Chadosh Beveso. And then they would stay home for 2 months. Nu, what does each one do with the other one's pasuk? Nu, V'Rav Nami, my time lo mar miyahi. Why didn't Rav like Rav Yochanan's pasuk, which said that they stay home for 2 month period of time? So he says, Shani Binyan Beis HaMikdash. That is the Beis HaMikdash, the Efshai De'acher, because there were so many people that wanted to work on the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's why they were able to stay home for a 2 month period of time, because they had enough workers. The Gemara asks the question, Nu v'Rav Nami, why didn't he like the pasuk of Rav Yochanan? We'll ask in a moment, why didn't Rav Yochanan like the pasuk of Rav? Nu v'Rav Nami, my time lomar me'ahi, why didn't Rav learn out the pasuk from Rav Yochanan that they went home for a 2 month period of time? So the Gemara says, because Shani Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Rav would say that the building of the Beis HaMikdash is different. There were many, many people that wanted to do this, and therefore they had enough workers that they could stay home for a 2 month period of time and only work one out of every 3 months. As opposed to the people who were working for David HaMelech, they didn't have that many people, so they would work 1 month on and 1 month off. No, why does Rav Yochanan like Rav's pasuk? Rav Yochanan, my time lo mar miyahi. Why did he learn that from David HaMelech? So where it says, Shiny Hasan, the Islay Harvacha. There, the wives would be very happy that they're working for the king. That's good money. That's a very good job. So they'd be willing to go and put up a little bit less having their husbands there because it was such a good job working for the king. Gemara will question this a little bit later on and saying that a woman would rather have her husband home and have less money. But here it's such good money, Shiny, the Islay Harvacha. So therefore, even though in general the women would rather have their husbands and have less money, here they'd be willing to go and put up with having their husbands a little bit less time because it was such good money. Okay. Amar Rav. Now we have another machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan on how to darshan a pasuk. That's the connection with this over here. So Amar Rav, he says, Anocha, a sigh, shoveres chatzi guf shalodam. A person has a krechts, he has a sigh, so it breaks half the person's body. And this is based upon the following pasuk, which we have from Yecheskel, where it says, Shenemar, v'ato ben adam, Yecheskel is always referred to as ben adam, hey anach b'shivron mosnayim, you're going to have such a sigh that it's going to go and break your mosnayim, your loins, over merimus te anach. And with such bitterness, you're going to have over here such a sigh. So the sighing breaks half the body. Rav Yochanan brings out another pasuk where he says, Af kol gufo shalodim. This is referring to the entire guf of the person who's broken by the sai. Shenemar, because he brings down the pasuk, Vayor kiyomru elecho amo ator nenach. When they're going to ask you, why are you krechtsing over here? In Yecheskel, the next pasuk it says, V'yomartin, you're going to tell them, El shmua kiba, because of the shmua that I've heard of the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, the nameis kolev, it's going to destroy the entire heart, v'rafu koyadayim, and it will weaken all your hands, v'chiasa kol ruach, v'chol geber kayim, telach nomayim, and it's going to melt away, so to say, everybody's ruach, your spirits are going to be totally destroyed, and your knees, v'chol geber kayim, telach nomayim, will become weak like water. So, now the Gemara says, why doesn't each one use the other one's pasuk, right? Why, Rav Yochanan, Nami, Why doesn't he use the pasuk that Rab brought, the first pasuk, Chokzib, Bishivro Mustaim? It says you'll break you in half, not the whole body. No, so the Gemara says, Hayidhi Maschala Mimustaim Maschala. He says, yeah, it's going to break your entire body, but it has to start somewhere. So it starts in breaking your loins in the middle of the body, and then it will destroy the rest of the body. So the first pasuk is a reference to where it starts, but not where it ends. That's the way Rav Yochanan would understand Rav's pasuk. It starts in the breaking in the middle of the body, but it ultimately breaks the entire body. This side that you're going to have about hearing about the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. Nu of Rav Nami, why doesn't he agree with the next pasuk that Rav Yochanan had brought down that it says your entire body will be destroyed? No, what does he do with that? It doesn't seem to only break half the body, it breaks the entire body. So Rav would answer, the Gemara says, Shiny Shmur the Beis HaMikdash, the Takifa Tuva. This second pasuk is referring to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and that is something that breaks the entire body. Normally, bad news will only break half your body. Tosfos asks the obvious question. The first pasuk is talking about the Beis HaMikdash also. So how can Rav say that the first pasuk is just a regular krach about a bad thing that happened? It's talking about the loss of the Beis HaMikdash too. So Tosfos asks this question, and Tosfos basically says that the first pasuk was before the Chorban. That was just the acknowledgement that there will be a Chorban. The second pasuk is actually when they hear about the Chorban itself. So the idea that the Chorban will occur, that causes half your body to be broken. But when you hear that the Beis HaMikdash never was destroyed, that causes the entire body to be destroyed. Ma'aseh Shoya, how Yisrael, Ovi Kochavim, there was a Yid once who was walking along with an Ovi Kochavim, Nabokazi Borcha, they're going on the road together, Ba'ali Adadi, with each other, and Lo Imtzi, Ovi Kochavim, Lesaguye, Ba'ali Yisrael. And the guy couldn't keep up with the Yid. He was traveling at a very fast pace, and the guy couldn't keep up with him. So what did the guy do? He reminded him about the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, Adkirei Chur Ben Beis HaMikdash, in the hopes that this would break his body, so to say, and slow him down. But, Nogid, the Yisnach, while the Yid, when he was reminded of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, he gave out a krechts, Nogid v'isnach, he sighed and sighed, and yet, Pafilu Hochi, nevertheless, Lo Imtzei Ovi Kochavim L'Saguye Badei. But the guy still couldn't keep up with him. In other words, while he krechts, and that should have broken his body, so to say, that he should slow down, he didn't. Pafilu Hochi, Lo Imtzei Ovi Kochavim L'Saguye Badei. The guy couldn't keep up with him, even in that situation. How come? So, Amalei, the guy said to the Yid, Lav Amrisu, what about this pasuk? Anocha Shoveris Chatzi Gufo Shalodam. Right? The guy knew the pasuk in Yecheskel. And he says, how come you're still able to walk at such a pace? So the lady, he responded to him, no. Hani Mili Milsu Chariti. When it says that a krechts, you saw, you hear bad news, it slows you down, it breaks half your body, that's if it's brand new bad news. Avoha Nebuch, the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, the Shnan Ba Lo, which we Nebuch unfortunately know about, which is unfortunately something that we're very, very used to. Nebuch, we should never be used to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but human beings are human beings. And as Rashi says, Hurgluba, we already know about this. And therefore, Kivan de Dosh, Dosh, since we already know about this, it doesn't have the same effect upon us. As people say, the common maxim is, Damri Inshe, the Malfei Tichle Lobosa. One who unfortunately knows about Avelus doesn't get so sad about Avelus. As Rashi explains in Dibur Masel de Malfa, Isha Halimudes Lishakel Bonel, Nebuch, a woman who is used to losing a woman, Lekovim, and has to go bury them, Eino Tumia Umefachedes, the most Echad Mehem Shikvar Limudes. She doesn't get as upset about each one because Nebuch, she is in a horrible situation and it won't impact her as much. So we're Nebuch in a horrible situation, having the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, so even every time we're reminded about it, it doesn't have the same impact. Then we quote the Mishnah, it said, Hatayolim Mechoyom, a person who is a tayol is expected to have relations with the wife if she wants it every day. So the Gemara asked the obvious question, my tayolim, who exactly are these tayolim? So Omar Rava says, Bnei Pirkei. Rashi explains, this is Talmidim Sharab Matzulem Be'iran. These are students that are learning by the yeshiva in their hometown. Vishon in Pirkum, they go and learn in the yeshiva. Vilonim Be'basim, but then they go home at night. So since they're home every night with their wife, so they're expected to go and have relations with their wife every single day. The Mefarshim bring down that this lashon of tayolim comes from the word tula, which means shade. In other words, they're living in the shade of their own house every night. Okay. That's what Tosu says, Hashem shedarkom betula daptaneyu, that they're living in the shade of their house every night. So therefore, they're called tayolim. Only Abayi doesn't like this. He says, my disibu, it says in the following pasuk, Shav luchem mashkim ekum. It is worthless for you that get up early in the morning. Me'achrei sheves, those who stay up late. Ochle lechem latzavim, who eat the bread of sadness. So, keni kein lididdo shena. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives support. He gives food to what's called liyedido shena. What exactly does this mean? Yomer Yitzchak, what does it mean, yedido shena? Elu nishoseim shaltid chacham. These are the wise of the Talmidei Chacham that HaKadosh Baruch Hu supports. Shemenadidos shena me'eneyem bo'olam hazeh, that they don't sleep in this world. They take care of all the things going on in the house because their husbands are learning in yeshiva. And ubos l'chai olam haba. And yet, they'll have olam haba. The Mepharshim should bring down that this is a play on the idea of Anu Amelim V'Hem Amelim. We say at Siyam that we work hard and they work hard. So it means that we work hard, we're not able to be Mekayim Ona in this world because we're learning Torah all the time, but we'll have it in the Olam Haba. That's what the Iyun Yaakov brings down, essentially. He also adds, and he says, the wives who don't go to sleep early and they wait up for their husbands, so this is a tremendous zuchus for them that they stay up late. The Gemara Brachos brings down, so they get tremendous reward as well. So, in any event, how can you tell me over here that these people are called tayolim? They have plenty of time, free time at night. They're sitting in the Beis Medrash all night long, and their wives either stay up for them very, very late, or they give up the ona in order that the husband be learning Torah. So, how can you tell me be'at amris b'nei pirkei? Abai says to Rabbah, really, you're calling such people b'nei pirkei? Yeah, they learn morning seder, and then they come up at night, and they're with their wives all night. That's not true. So, how does Abai understand this? Elam Abai. Abai says kiderav. The tayolim is to be understood the way Rav understood it. What did Rav say? The Amar Rav can go on Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. We learned about Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas early in the Masechta. Rashi brings that over here on Daf Nun. He was Malame Tinokos. And and this was his living. And therefore, a Rebbe is not allowed to stay up late at night. A Rebbe is mechuyev to go and get a good night's sleep so he can be wide awake and fully alert in the morning to take care of the Tamidim. So somebody like Rosh Hashanah Bar Shelas, that's a Tayolim. The Ochel Midday, he eats his own food. Vishasi Midday, he drinks his own drinks. In other words, he makes a little bit of a parnasa. The gane betula de apadne, and he's able to sleep every night under the shade of his own ceiling, his own roof, because he's mechoyev to get a good night's sleep, and yet the locholif peristika the malka abave, and he's not bothered by the king's tax collectors. They bypass his house, so to say. They just take a meager amount of taxes over him because they know he's not a rich guy. The rich people, the king's tax collectors, go and bother them all the time. They go and collect lots of taxes for them. But this guy gets to live in comfort and peace. He's a rebbe of small children, so he has to get a good night's sleep. He makes enough parnasa so that he has his own food. He doesn't have to go out and beg, and at the same time, nobody bothers him. So this is the person that Rav says is the tayolim, the mechuyev every night. He also Rabbi came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar, he said, Kigon Mifanke de Marava. This is talking about those people that are Mifunokim. They're very fussy people that live in Eretz Yisrael, who eat very, very well, as Rashi says, Bnei Eretz Yisrael, Meunogim, B'maychol Mishta. They eat very, very well, they drink very, very well, Lekachim Brim. And therefore, they're very strong, and they're very healthy, and they're capable of having tashmish every single night. Rabbi Avo, Havikoi Beibani. And we'll give an example of how strong some of these people were from Rabbi Avo and another story afterwards. So Rabbi Avo once went to the bathhouse. Their bathhouses were constructed that they were basically planks of wood that were over a big pit where the water would drain off into, and there also would be fires below there, and they would go and heat up the bathhouse, and the water would drain out into the pit below them. And Havusam Chalei Trei Abde, and he had two servants with him that supported him in the bathhouse. But one time he went there, Ivchas Beibani, me to say, the floor of the bathhouse broke underneath him, and they would have fallen into this deep pit underneath there. And it's Rami Le'amuda, but there was a pillar there that was still standing from the support of the floor, and Solik, he grabbed onto it, Yaskinu, and he pulled himself up, as well as the two servants that had been previously supporting him. He now held them. Rashi says that he held them with one hand, Helos Avodim Biyodo Achas, Ubishniam, with his other hand, he was able to climb up the pole with one hand while he was holding the two servants with the other hand. Again, this shows you how the great people who lived in Eretz Yisrael, but they took good care of the health and they learned Torah, were able to be strong like Rabbi Avo was. Another ma'aseh shoya, Rav Yochanan, havas solik bedargo. One time Rav Yochanan was walking on a ladder, and havu samchilei Rav Ami Rav Asi, Ami and Rav Asi were helping the Rebbe up the ladder. And Ifcha saw Dargo Tuse, and one of the rungs on the ladder broke underneath them. On the steps there it broke, and Solik, so what happened? He continued to climb up and hold on, Vaskinu, and he pulled up Rav Ami and Rav Asi with him. I'm only Rabbanim. The Rabbanim asked him, wait a second, he's so strong, why are you supporting him? Since he obviously was strong enough to hold both of you up, what in the world are you doing supporting him? Why do you have to go and support him? So Amalu, Rav Yochanan answered the Tamidim, Im Kain, if I'm going to use up all my energy now, then what will I leave for my older life? In other words, I'm going to use up all my strength now, and I won't have the strength later on in life. As Rashi says, Koach biatzmi lishtamish bo leizikna. I need to, so to say, keep my strength in reserve and hold on to it for later in life. Okay, very interesting stories, Rabbi Abo and Rabbi Yochanan. Then we quote the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, which says, HaPoalim Shtayim B'Shabbos, that we said a normal worker has to go and have relations with his wife twice a week. Gemara says, well, Tanya, we're living in a Braisa, HaPoalim Achas B'Shabbos, they only have the relations with their wife once a week, so seems to be a stira between the Braisa and the Mishnah. So Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Chanina, no, it's not a stira, Lokasha, the two are consistent with each other. It depends on what type of a worker you are. Kan Bosa B'Locha B'Iran, in our Mishnah where it says, they have to have relations twice a week. That's when they work in the city. But the Bryce is referring to where they work in another city. Now Tosus points out that they're still going home to their house every night. As he points out in Dira Masa Vatanya Poalim, where he says, the Bryce of Yeshlomar in the middle of the Tosos, he says, the Bryce of Kamashwal, the Afabi Shibin Hogam Kach Lasos Malocha Biracharis, they went to work in another city. But in this situation, so they go home every night. And he says, Torah Haderech. So it's the reason why they only have their relations once a week is because of the difficulty in the commute, day there and day back. So even though they're staying at home, they're only physically capable of having relations once a week because they're otherwise they're tired from the commute. Okay. Tanya Miyach, we have another Braisa that says the same thing. HaPoal Shtayim B'Shabbos, the workers are expected to have relations twice a week if that's what their wife wants. But Madamar Mum, under what circumstances, Ba'osim B'Loch Bir, and that's when they're working in their own city and they don't have the tircha of the travel. However, Avol Ba'osim B'Loch Bir Acheres, if they're working in another city, but they're commuting each day, so then only Achas B'Shabbos, only expected to have relations once a week. Then we quote the Mishnah, Chamarim Achas B'Shabbos. We said that the donkey drivers, they have to have relations once a week with their wives. So the Gemara asks, Amalei Rabba bar Rav Chanan le'Abayi. Rabba bar Rav Chanan asked to Abayi, and the whole purpose of a Mishnah, Ich Pal Tana Lashmin and Tayel Upoa. So the only two people that we're really dealing with here that have relations with their wives on a very regular basis are the Tayel and the Poel. So that's what Beis Hillel says, that if you go and make an eder, that you're going to have not have your wife give you Hanah. So he said, if that's more than 1 week, then Basil says that you have to get divorced. So it's only talking about these two groups of people, the Tile and the Pole, because all the other wives aren't expecting to have relations once a week. So it's only the Tile and the Pole. So really, Basil and Bishamai are arguing their entire machlokas is just about these two workers, the Tile and the Pole, but not the rest of Klai Yisrael. So that's what Rabba Bar Rav Chanan asked Abayi. So Amalei Abayi says back to Lo, and return to Samach Beis, Amud Beis. He says, Akulu, it goes on all of them. That this din, this machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, where Beis Hillel said 1 week, it goes on all of them. It's not only talking about the Tayolim and the Polim, but it's even talking about the Chamorim and the Gamolim and the Saponim. Ayma says, well, Saponim, Vashisha Chadashu Kamar. So how come if the man says that I asked her, myself getting Hanar from you and Tashvish for a week, is the wife demanding a divorce? She wasn't expecting to have relations once every 6 months. So where it says, no. Ain't no dom Misha Ish lo pas besalo, Misha ain't lo pas besalo. There's a big difference between having the ability to have something and then not having it, as opposed to where it's awesome to have it. We all know we have the sensation that on the tinus, right? The minute the tinus starts, you're hungry, you're thirsty. Right? On a regular day, you could go and be lunchtime and you haven't eaten or drunk anything and you don't even notice it because you're so busy. But on a tinus, you wake up, you know, even though you never eat before davening, on a tinus, you're hungry when you wake up. So that's the way it is. If a person has what's called pas besalo, he has the ability to have bread, so then he's not so hungry. But if he doesn't have bread, so then he's very hungry. Then he wishes, oh, if only I had bread, I would eat, even though normally he wouldn't be eating. So too, if the woman knows that she's allowed to have relations, so even though she's not expecting to have relations except once every 6 months, so that's fine. No pain, no tsar. But even though she's only expected to have relations once every 6 months, once you tell her, but you can't have relations this week, it's also to have relations this week, so then it's going to give her tsar. So therefore, that's the understanding here. Even for these types of husbands where the expectation is not to have relations every week, Basil says that if he asks himself from having hanah from her relations, so then the woman can demand a divorce if it's more than 1 week. Another question to Abaye. I alluded to this before. What happens if a person is originally a donkey driver, the expectation is to have relations once a week, and then he becomes a camel driver, interstate trucker, and now he's only home a lesser period of time, he'll have relations only once a month. So what's the din? So I'm late. So Abaye says back to him, that the woman would rather be with her husband and be with him a lot of time, even though he's not going to have so much money, and they'll only have a kav, so to say, rather than she'll have 10 kav, and they have sorry kav, and lots of money, but her husband will be away. So a woman would prefer that her husband be home and not have such a high-paying job, and have her husband rather than him having a job where he's working all night long, and she never sees him. We said before, and I pointed this out before, that when they worked by the king, so they were such a rich job, such a good job, so they were happy to have their husbands work by the king. So even though they only came home for 1 month instead of 2 months, so that was acceptable. So as I pointed out, that was a very, very, very high-paying job, and in that situation, maybe it would be a little bit different. But the general rule of thumb is that a woman would rather be with her husband and not have so much money than have a lot of money but not be with her husband. Gemara quotes the Mishnah, says, the sailors, they have once every 6 months an obligation to have relations with the wives, and we said, Divri Rabbi Eliezer. This was the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. And the Gemara says, Amar Bruno, Amar Rav, Halach, Rabbi Eliezer. We paskin like this opinion. Rabbi Bruno, Amar Rav tells us that these Tamidei Chachamim, that's the simple understanding, that goes back on the first part, that the Tamidei Chachamim are able to go and learn Torah for a 30-day period of time, even without permission from their wives. As opposed to Amar Ravada Bar Ava, Amar Rav, Ravada Bar Ava said over the name of Rav that yes, this was the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, but not the way we paskin Zudi Rabbi Eliezer. However, the Chacham disagree. But Chacham Omrim HaTalmidim Yotzim LaTalmud Torah Shtayim V'Shalosh Shanim Shol B'Shos. It's not limited by 30 days. They can even go out for a period of 2 or 3 years without their wives' permission. They're allowed to do so in order to learn Torah. But Rava says, Amar Rava, Samchu Rabbanan Ad Rav Ada Bar Ava's understanding of Rav, that the rabbis relied upon this more lenient opinion of Rav Ada Bar Ava that he said over the name of Rav. However, it didn't always end well. The Avde Uvda Bin of Shayu, but they did this at the risk of their own lives. As Rashi says, they followed this opinion, but it took a toll upon them, as Maisa Shahoya. He heard the Rav Ruchumi. Rav Ruchumi have a shachiach kameh de Rava ben Mechuza. Rav Ruchumi was a regular Talmud by Rava in Mechuza. Rava lived in Mechuza. Have a rogil to have a osi lebeise komala yom de kippur. And he would go home every year on Erev Yom Kippur to his house to be with his wife. Yom achad mishachti shmaisa. One time on Erev Yom Kippur, he was so involved in his learning that he lost track of the time, and he didn't get to his house. So, have Mesachya Devisu, his wife was looking for him. Socha means to look. So, his wife was looking. Targum Shomitzapara. She says she was waiting for him and looking for him. And Hashdasi, he was excited to see him. She hadn't seen him for a whole year. Said, he's going to come any minute. And then Nebuch, lo also, he didn't come because he got so involved in his learning. So, Chalush Daita, she became very, very saddened and became very weak. And Akiz dim asamene, and tears came down from her eyes. And Havi Yosef b'Igra, at that moment, her husband, Rav Ruchumi, was in fact sitting in an Igra. An Igra is an attic, a higher place, and Nebuchadnezzar collapsed. Ivchis Igra mituse, and the ceiling that he was on top of fell down and collapsed. So he died, benoch nafshe, because he caused his wife this pain and suffering when he wasn't really allowed to do so. So as Rashi points out, even though they relied upon this opinion, they took their life literally into their own hands by relying upon this opinion. It really wasn't the right thing to do. They should have discussed this with their wives. They should have come to a pshara, should have come to a situation where both of them would be happy. And Nebuchadnezzar caused his wife distress. And the Gemara also tells us that the man who causes his wife distress is oy vavoy, because the whole brach of the house is based upon the wife, and all the good things in life come because of a wife. Matzo isha, matzo tov. The Gemara continues and says, O neshal tamidei chachamim emas, So Gemara says, when should the Talmud Chacham, who's supposed to have relations with his wife, should have relations with her? So the Gemara says, I'm Yehuda Mershul, Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. This should be on Friday night. As Rashi points out, Shehu Lel Tainog, Ushvisa, Ve'anoa Sagub. This is a time for them to be home. They have all the Onek Shabbos, and they're more relaxed. They're learning all week. So the Talmud Chacham is the one that's allowed to sleep on Shabbos. Everybody says, oh, Shehna B'Shabbos, Tainog. That's the abbreviation of Shabbos. But that's what the Talmud Chacham, they're learning all week, so they can shluff a little on Shabbos. The person who's working all week said, learn on Shabbos and shouldn't sleep on Shabbos. In any event, Friday night is a special night for Oneg, and therefore that's the night that a man should fulfill his owner with his wife. The Barsuk says, Asher piyo yitem bi'ito. It is great if, in fact, the tree produces its fruit at the right time. As the Pasuk says, Voyo ke shosul apalgi mayim, it's like a tree that is planted beautifully by the water, asher piyo yitem ito, and the fruits will give forth at the right time, v'oleo lo yibol, and the leaves will not wither, v'chol asher yasi etzlich, and everything good will come from this. So the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda, he darshens this, others say, v'yitem Reb Huna was darshening it, others say, v'yitem Reb Nachman was darshening it. This is a reference, that Meshamesh mitosum, Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. There's an allusion here to the idea that the Talmud Chacham should do at the right time, kamanoa piryo beito, so this is the appropriate time to have children, and therefore this should be a school that they have wonderful children. Okay. Gemara tells us, Maisa Shoyo, Yehuda, who was Berei de Rav Chiya, who was the son of Rav Chiya, who was Chasne de Rav Yane, who was the son-in-law of Rav Yane. His father-in-law was Rav Yane, his father was Rav Chiya. And he said all week long in the Beis Medrash, and then every Shabbos, when it was Erev Shabbos, and it would be almost Shabbos, so then he would come home. When he would come home, he was on such a high level that, so to say, there was a pillar of fire that preceded him when he would come home. Again, one day he got so engrossed in his learning that he lost track of the time and he didn't come home when he normally did. So his father, Rav Yanai, said, this is very, very atypical for Yehuda. He always fulfills his owner. So kiva d'lochazi ha'osimana. So when Rav Yanai didn't see the pillar of fire that normally preceded his son-in-law, Yehuda, coming home, so he said, Nebuch, the only reason he's not coming home is because Nebuch, he's not alive. So Amar Lu Rav Yanai, so Rav Yanai told the family, kifu mitaso, go and start sitting shiva. In other words, turn over the beds because Nebuch, he must have passed away. As Rashi says, Kedas Hamas Adlim, the Chayav Mekviya Semiti. He said, go and treat yourselves as if you're in Avelos. He obviously died. Now, Shomala Yehuda Kayam, if my son-in-law Yehuda was alive, Lobi Telonosa, there's no way he wouldn't be coming home. He didn't realize that he got so engrossed in his learning that he just lost track of the time. But this is like, as the famous Pasuk from Kolel tell us, Havei Kishkoga Shiotza Mipi Levnei HaShalit. This is like a ruling, even though it's a mistake, that comes from the king, remains a ruling, and because Rav Yanai was such a great person, so it's as if he said that Yehuda had died, and in fact, v'noch nafshe, and Yehuda in fact did die. Again, it's not that Rav Yanai killed him, but again, the situation was that he didn't come home when he was supposed to, and it caused his wife, Nistama, some displeasure, so he was held accountable. On the great level that he was held accountable. Another Maisa Shoya, Rebbe, he asak le'libre. Rebbe was arranging a shidduch with his son, with the daughter of Rabbi Chiya, Bei Rabbi Chiya. Now, kimoto lemichtav ksuva. They knew they were sitting down to write the ksuba. Noch nafsho diravisa. Nebuch, the girl who they're making the shidduch for, Rabbi Chiya's daughter, she never passed away. So Rebbe took this as a siman. I'm a Rebbe. Chas v'shalom psulika. Chas v'shalom. Is there some psul in our family, says, that caused this terrible tragedy to occur? As Rashi says, shlo yu mihuganim luzug echad. They were not roy somehow to be married to each other, so there must have been something wrong over here. So they sat down, yesivu, the inu b'mishpachos, and they looked into all the lineages to see if they were in fact kosher, and that this marriage was a perfectly legitimate marriage. No, and it was another reason that Rachman al-Salam, the girl, passed away. So Rebbe, osi mishifatya ben avital. So they looked into the lineage. Rebbe was from the family of David HaMelech, and he came from Avital. Shvatya ben Avital. Avital was a wife of David. Shvatya was a son of David through his wife Avital. As Rashi tells the Libra Masu, Shvatya ben Avital, this Shvatya was a ben David. Hoya Avital, Shem Eishas David. Avital was a wife of David. And Rabbi Chiya didn't come from the royalty of Malchus Beis David. And therefore, he felt that it was an inappropriate shidduch. Rabbi Chiya, Osi, Mishimi, Achi David. He came from a brother of David. David had seven brothers. And the brother that was named Shimi, so he was the progenitor of Rabbi Chiya's family, and therefore he didn't really come from Malchus, and therefore that's why Rabbi felt that this was not an appropriate match, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that this match didn't go through. As Rashi says, she wasn't Hugenis Livno, Shloiso Bas Melochim. So Rabbi came from a royal lineage, and he should have married into a royal lineage. And Shimi was, while a brother of David, wasn't of royal lineage. Mark continues and says, so therefore, Ozil, Rebbe went, Iasik Leilibre, he went to make a shidduch for his son, Bei Rav Yossi ben Zimra, who was a Kohen. And therefore, this would also be an appropriate shidduch, even for a melech. Now, Paskule, so they arranged in the Ksuba that there would be support for a certain number of years. Paskule, Tarte Srei Shnin, for 12 years, Lemezal Bebe Rav, that the chosen would sit and learn in the Beis Medrash for 12 years before they would consummate the marriage. So they did the shidduch now, they had Erisin now, but the chosen would go learn for 12 years, and then he would come back and they would do the Nisuin. However, they brought the Kala to see the chosen. Again, you're not allowed to get married if you don't see the Kala. So they brought the Kala in front of the chosen, Achlefua Kane. So they brought the Kala in front of the chosen. Amalu says, okay, maybe 12 years is a little bit too much. Amalu, Neve Shishnin. Let's only have 6 years between the Erisin and the Nisuin. No, they brought her in front of him again. Achlefua Kame, is why she says, Havira Nair Lefnei Chosen. They brought her in front of him again. And again, he wanted to marry her now. And Amalui said, no, let's get married now first. Ichnis Vahadir Azil. Let's get complete the marriage right now. We'll have Nisuin right now. And then I'll go off and learn. And Havakom Michsif Me'avua. However, he was embarrassed to see his father. His father had arranged for him to learn for 12 years in yeshiva, but instead he was getting married first. So his father said to him, don't worry. Bini, my son, Das Koncha Yesh Becha. You have the same intentions, so to say, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyocho. Nei, Karksiv, the Pasuk originally says, Tivi Emo, Visita Emo. Originally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that I will bring Klai Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. He told Moshe Rabbeinu, you will bring them into Eretz Yisrael, and then v'sita emo, and you will then build the Beis HaMikdash. However, ulbisov k'siv, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, kaviyocho, changed his mind. It said, v'osu l'mikdash, no, first make for me the Mikdash. In other words, the Mishkan, v'shochanti b'sochem, and then I will go live in it. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kaviyocho, said that I want to first be with Klai Yisrael, and then we'll worry about the other stuff. So too, you're like a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You want to first be with your Kala, and then you worry about learning. Also, you also tied to Yisrei Shnei Bebe Rab. So, this is exactly what happened. He did marry her, and then he went to learn in the Beis Medrash for 12 years. Adioso Iakro Devisu. But by the time he came back, his wife Nebuch was no longer able to have children. Now, how does this work? So, Rashi brings down, Nasis Akara Kein Derecha Omdos Eser Shodin Below Baal. If a woman lives for 10 years without a husband, so to say, she gets sterile, she gets cold, she's incapable anymore of having children. That's what Rashi brings down from the Gemara in Yevamos. As you can see in the Oslamet in the Mesoros HaShas. So, what happened? Amar Rebbe. Rebbe said, Hey Chinavid, what should I do over here? Nigrisha, should I go and suggest that they get divorced? That's not right. Yomru, people are going to say, Aniyazu Lashov Shimra? This woman's a tzaddikus. She waited 12 years for her husband to come home, and now we're going to divorce her because she can't have children? That's not right. No, Ninsiv Itza Achrite. So, okay, I'll let him stay married to her, but he has to fulfill the mitzvah Puravu, so we'll go again and marry to somebody else? That's not right either. Ninsiv Itza Achrite, to go marry to somebody else, people are going to say, Yomru, Zu Ishto, Zu Zunaso. The first one is his Zona. Oh, the second one, that's his real wife. And the first one, he just keeps around to have relations with. That's not right. That puts a huge pagam on her. So what did Rebbe do? Boy, Allah rachmi vitasis. So he dived into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, let her get better. And she got, in fact, better. The Ben Yodeh is a very good question. Others ask the same question. He says, why did she become sterile after 10 years? That only is if she doesn't expect her husband to come back. But she did expect her husband to come back. So Ben Yodeh answers and he says that he loved her so much, so she thought that he would be able to return at least a couple of times during the 12 years. But when he didn't return during that period of time, she said that, oh, he must be like Ben Azai. And Ben Azai, who was married to Rabbi Kiva's daughter, ended up divorcing her because he said, all I can do is sit and learn. I can't have a family. So she thought that this husband, her husband, Rebbe's son, was like Ben Azai and wasn't going to come back. And that's why she gave up hope that he would come back. And that's why she was Mi'akra. He also points out the Ben Yehuda, where do we get this 12 years from? So it says, Sheish Shonim Tizra Sodecha, Sheish Shonim Tizmor Karmecha. So first you have to go and learn. And then you have to go and review it and analyze it. So that's the 6 years to learn the six Siddurim of Mishnayis, and then you have to chase them. The Ibn Yaakov brings down that it was 3 years each for learning Mikra, Mishnah, Halacha, and Agada. So that was the 12 years. That's where they get the 12 years from. Incidentally, the Marsha had the exact opposite understanding of Rashi over here. He said that they looked to see if there was any pagam, and in fact there wasn't any pagam in the family of Rechia because it was a perfectly good lineage, albeit it wasn't royalty, and therefore he went and married somebody else. It also wasn't of royal lineage. We have a couple of more interesting stories, including the story that I alluded to earlier about Rabbi Akiva, but Mitz Shem will wait till tomorrow's shiur. With this, we conclude today's shiur.